Does U.S. history matter? My good friend Bill Federer once said that a nation that does not remember its history is like an adult that has lost his memory, like an Alzheimer's patient. A lot of people treat the teaching of history as if it's just a boring group of information, of names and dates. But a nation that doesn't know its past doesn't know its future, much less its present. We're going to talk about the war on American history, the battle over U.S. history, with Kevin McGarry. He is the author of the book Woked Up. He's a critic of the woke ideology, which is so prevalent today. And he is the president and co-founder of Every Black Life Matters and chairman of the California chapter of the Frederick Douglass Foundation. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and we welcome back Kevin McGarry. Kevin, thanks so much for joining us.
Brother Jerry, it's so good to be here. Thank you for having me again.
So the woke folk have taken over much of the teaching of American history. Some of them are even trying to abolish Thanksgiving. This is being recorded around Thanksgiving time. How about a kind of an overview statement about the war on American history?
Well, I'm so glad you mentioned Bill Federer. He's also a friend of mine. I gave him this book, the entire manuscript, to review, because I wanted his perspective, and he came back and he says, oh, Kevin, this is unbelievable work, what you've done, connecting the dots in American history. He then reiterated that he has done a lot of work on Darwin, a lot of work on Marx, but he never connected the dots like I have in this book. So it's a very, very important read. What it does, basically, it really casts the proper perspective on history. And what I mean by that is right now you have wokesters that are, hysterical and shrill about canceling our founders and our framers, and because they own slaves or they were plantation owners or whatever the case may be. But if they're sincere, they would actually go and cancel first the ones who actually precipitated slavery, those that actually precipitated white supremacy and racism. And if you actually look at history, you will find that literally the ones that have done the harms, the evil of racism, white supremacy, and slavery are associated with the ones that are right now being hysterical and shrill about canceling our founders and framers. So it's really, really ironic that we allow them to get away with these just sort of irreconcilable, data points and historical points, because you cannot make sense of what they're saying if you're sincere about actually, pointing out what happened in history and then doing something about it.
Okay, now, so what do you actually mean? I mean, what is it? Who is it that you're trying to say, hey, I mean, expels, connect some more dots for us.
You don't mind if I expound more? Okay,
no,
good.
Go ahead.
Good. So here's the thing. So we literally did have slavery and horrible, horrible treatment for slaves. There was one faction, not all whites are complicit with slavery. That's ridiculous. Anybody with a half of a brain will know that literally we had a civil war between mostly whites against whites. We had the whites in the North that were abolitionists. They were the Republican Party. It was formed to go against slavery, an abolitionist party. And then we had the folks in the South that just happened to be Democrats. Southern Democrats, who actually were enslaving blacks. They're the ones that benefited from slavery. Now, if we're sincere, you have to ask yourself, if you read Ibram X. Kendi's book, How to Be an Anti-Racist, you read Robin DiAngelo's book, White Fragility, why is it that they always cast these generalizations for all whites as being complicit, and they don't put the exact faction of people that were actually doing providing the enslavement and the horrible treatment of blacks, which happened to be the Democrat Party. So these people are insincere, first of all. They'd rather generalize, make a huge big bucket and put all whites in there and then go after founders and framers of America, even though the founders and framers actually put up documents that set blacks free. It was those documents, the Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution, that literally mandated that blacks be set free. And there was a lot of work to do that, obviously, in preparation for that, because there was a lot of tradition and family and all kinds of history that went along with that. But ultimately, it culminated in the Civil War. And so what's interesting is we don't hear any talk of the particular faction of people that literally enslaved blacks. We only hear of generalizations that all whites are complicit. And so that's one element. Now, the other element, if you look at the whole woke movement, it's all rooted in Marxism. Now, what's interesting about Marx is he actually had a mentor that he all of his early works, he and Engels, their early works were dedicated to Charles Robert Darwin. Now, if you read Darwin's work, you come to find out that Darwin was the first one of any scientific notoriety, any anthropological genius, that would actually say that there are differences between races. Remember, Darwin was the one that really escalated, atheism by virtue of his evolutionary theories that we evolved from nothing and, you know, we're here. So when you, before that, I mean, people thought, hey, there is a God, most people, overwhelming majority of people, and that all were created equal. Well, Darwin said, no. We actually have most favored races. If you read it, the title of his first book, which was on natural selection, it says, for the preservation of most favored races. That distinction is new. It was new when he brought it up. It did not exist anywhere. The scientific community and anthropologists before him asserted that blacks literally had no cognitive or intellectual incapacities compared to whites or any other ethnicities. But Darwin came along and he says, look, blacks are literally still trying to climb the evolutionary scale that I've laid out about evolution. And as evidence of that, you see that they're subhuman. They're more likened to gorillas, apes, and savages. That kind of thinking, Jerry, did not exist prior to Darwin proclaiming that. So literally, Darwin is the taproot of white supremacy and racism. I'm going to take a pause here because I know you got a lot of questions.
No, absolutely. So why are, let's say, the Pilgrims? Let's just take them as an example. Historically, the Pilgrims who founded Plymouth, Massachusetts, they really set a very positive tone for the country to be. This was just a group of dedicated men and women who just wanted to worship the Lord in the purity of their conscience. And so they underwent all kinds of different suffering so they could finally make it here. They even set the positive trajectory of the future constitutional republic to be, in the sense that they wrote down an agreement for self-government, the Mayflower Compact, which historians tell us was really the first step towards creating an independent nation eventually. You know, in other words, it was the first step in the creation of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. And yet today, the Pilgrims were basically just, you know, trying to live their lives in peace. They got along well with others, including the Indians, with whom they made a long-lasting treaty of peace and so forth. And they treated everybody well, and yet now they're vilified, you know, as if they brought in genocide and so forth. Bad things happen after the Pilgrims, but that wasn't the Pilgrims' fault. They're not the ones that initiated. I mean, it'd be like saying, hey, I'm going to blame the Wright brothers because there was an airplane accident the other week.
That's exactly right. So what you see are wokesters revising history. We call it revisionist history to accommodate a caricature and talking points about racism. The reality is is that what wokesters, the people in the woke movement, the people that would cater to it, the people that would identify as being woke, are all, and it's beyond a shadow of a doubt. So I'm not castigating. I'm not, you know, trying to do any pejoratives towards anyone here. I'm just saying, by definition, people who would identify as being woke or being a part of that movement are literally the ones who are white supremacists and racism. And the reason why, let me go further. In my book, Woked Up, which is a new book just released last month, or 2 months ago now, I confirm where all of the white supremacy and racism literally came from. Now, you're right about the pilgrims. They just wanted to live peacefully and all of that. Then we had, you know, the economic opportunism that was expressed by way of slavery. Slavery came into America when we started to, you know, get our little colonies together, our 13 colonies, and we had slavery. And it was really embraced by the Southern, again, the folks in the South, including this, you know, most notably the Southern Democrats.
And if I could interrupt you real fast, just point this out. Slavery was practiced all over the place. I mean, all over the world. This is nothing, no new innovation by the Americans. Go on, please.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was practiced everywhere. And actually, even to this very day, slavery is a huge problem. We actually have more people enslaved today by virtue of sex slavery around the world and human slavery that we have in various areas, especially the Middle East, that than anywhere at any other time in history. So there's more slavery today than before. But you know, not to continue that. But here, let's get back on track. So here's the deal. So we did have slavery, and but you know, people didn't have that. Hey, I'm supreme to you, therefore I'm going to relegate you. That came much later when Darwin did his first work. Those people who enslaved people saw that Europeans were bringing people here, and they could be relegated to do menial works, you know, pick the cotton and do all kinds of things, and they didn't have to pay them. And so it was economic opportunism that really drove slavery. It wasn't, hey, I hate these people, so I'm going to just treat them bad and have them work on my... No, it wasn't that initially. Now, here's what happened. Darwin came out with a second paper, The Descent of Man, his second book, rather, The Descent of Man. And in that book is where he firmly instantiated white supremacy. He says, look, we have supreme intellectual capacity compared to anyone else on the planet, and we're much more resourceful. And then when I say we, I mean, he's speaking of white, European, Caucasian, Aryans, right? And he says, we're much more resourceful than any other, ethnicity. Therefore, we need to do all we can to preserve our pure heritage, our pure race. Darwin was so committed to his white supremacy that he literally married his first cousin. Now, he was a scientist. He knew the risks of that.
Oh, wow.
But he married her and had 10 children. 7 were perfectly fine. 3 had problems by virtue of the genes being so closely related. But the point is that this is not just a talking point to him. This was a sincere motivation to try to preserve his intellectual capacity within his own family. And so, when you actually carry this out, then his first cousin, Francis Galton, who was just a premier statistician, brilliant statistician, he did all of the homework of these various ethnicities and population growth in other parts of the world. And he said to his older cousin, Charles Darwin, look, we're going to have a major problem with preserving our pure white heritage and all of our intellectual capacity if we allow these other ethnicities who are way overpopulating, having many more children compared to us, to continue to populate as they have. So right, they developed a scheme
called eugenics, and we're out of time. But okay. Hey, thanks, Kevin. All the best.
All right. Thank you.